In the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome you to this weekly program from Words of Life. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers support this program with their prayers and contributions. Our simple purpose is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. Based upon the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will tell us about the day of the Lord. We now praise our Lord with song.
Oh,
Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, who was born of woman to be a human person and also continue to be God. Bless each of our listeners with health, peace, and special understanding of who you are. We seek your protection upon those who are faithful to you. As believers, it will be our great blessing to meet Jesus in the air at your appointed time. Please help us to serve you and share in the gospel news as we wait for him. Thank you for listening to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now talk to us on a sermon topic, Day of the Lord.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life radio broadcasts as we endeavor to share the Word of God, that you would not only hear the Word of God, but that we all be doers of the Word of God and witness its truths to others. The title for the lesson is Day of the Lord, and our text is taken from the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. This is the Word of God. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Wonderful words from our Lord through his servant Peter. Doomsayers continue to predict the end of the world as we know it. A newer report claims the first science-based list of global risks with a potentially infinite impact, whereby in the extreme, the Earth is doomed. It includes everything from climate change to artificial intelligence, AI. We'll consider three leading causes that are on this list that claims to be the first science-based list of global risks. Number one, nuclear war. Even if much of the population of Europe, Russia, and America were directly wiped out, that would not in itself doom the entire planet. However, the possibility of a nuclear winter could. If enough nuclear bombs, were detonated, world temperatures would fall dramatically and quickly, disrupting food production. That could be catastrophic for the human race. Number two, a global pandemic. The risk isn't that a single contagion kills everyone. That's highly unlikely. It's that a lethal pandemic kills enough people that the basics of civilization, such as agriculture, principally, can't be maintained, and eventually survivors die off. And thirdly, a major asteroid impact. Major asteroid impacts have caused large-scale extinction on Earth in the past. It's widely believed that asteroid impact or volcanic eruptions wiped out the dinosaurs. The Earth is at risk, and strategies by NASA to avert large asteroid impacts prove it. So, is this Earth doomed to human-initiated catastrophes or by natural causes impacting Earth? Our lesson in part gives us the answer from God, who is the creator of the universe. Quoting from the New International Version, 1984 edition, listen to 2 Peter 3:10 once again. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. In Scripture, we should understand that the day of the Lord signifies the miraculous interventions of God into human history for the purpose of judgment, culminating in His final judgment of unbelievers on earth and the destruction of the present universe. Note, the heavens will disappear with a roar. The Old Testament prophets viewed the final day of the Lord as a day, a time of unparalleled judgment and darkness. A day in which God will completely destroy His enemies, vindicate His holy name, reveal His power and glory, and establish His final eternal kingdom. According to the book of Revelation, it will transpire in two stages. During the coming seven-year tribulation referred to in Revelation chapter 6, verse 17, and after the thousand-year or millennial reign revealed in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. Then God will establish the new heavens and new earth. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. Peter referred to this final day of the Lord as occurring, quote, like a thief, meaning it will be unexpected, without warning, and disastrous for unbelievers. The heavens will disappear with a roar, refers to universal upheaval that Christ predicted in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, whereby Jesus stated, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." The heavens here refers to the visible, physical universe of interstellar and intergalactic space. Like Christ, Peter predicted, by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, the disintegration of the entire universe in an instant. Uncreation, not by mankind nor any naturalistic scenario, but solely and sovereignly by God's omnipotent, all-powerful intervention in judgment. Roar is an onomatopoeia, meaning a word that sounds like what it means. It connotes the loud, whizzing, crackling sounds that objects emit as fire consumes them. On that future day, the rushing sound from the disintegrating atoms of the universe will be deafening, unlike anything mortals have ever heard before. No genuine repentant believer need fear that day, for all believers will have been glorified into their immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, perfected body, soul, and spirits before that day. But on that day, the elements, that is, the basic atomic components of the universe, in the supernatural intense heat, will be so powerful that the earth and everything in it will be laid bare or burned up. God's power will consume everything in the material realm, with its civilizations, ecosystems, natural resources, and including all of the surrounding celestial universe. Then Peter writes the first century church, applicable to the 21st century church. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Of course, Peter knew by God's Spirit that the what and how, but not the when, that this would all transpire. Verse 11b, you ought to live holy and godly lives. Peter's point in context is, in light of God's promised judgment, he challenges his readers, his listeners, to live in keeping with their hope, allowing their expectation and anticipation of God's unfolding plan to impact, to match their daily behavior as godly, as Christians, followers of Christ. Many trees appear to be healthy when we see them in summer. But in the winter, after their leaves have all fallen off, we sometimes find that hidden underneath the lush green of the summer foliage was a parasitic plant called mistletoe, which had been slowly taking away some of the tree's vitality. Christians sometimes have hidden sins, which, like a parasite, slowly takes away one's spiritual vitality. Although not always evident in times of outward spiritual health and fruitfulness, we Christians must always examine ourselves for those small, unseen parasites of sinful habits that will sap our spiritual vitality. Robert Murray McChain, a Scottish preacher in the 1800s, is credited with having said, quote, "Holiness vanishes when talked about, but becomes gloriously conspicuous when you live it," end quote. How conspicuous is our holy living without just talking about it? How resolved are we never to do anything we would be afraid to do if we were in the last day or days of our lives and know it? So Peter drew from prophecy practical implications of living holy and godly lives. Consider verse 12. "As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat." In view of this revealed end times truth, as Bible-believing Christians, we should live worthy lives as God's people with eager anticipation of the coming day of God. Our looking forward to and the speed or hastening of its coming reinforces that believers are not worried nor afraid of its coming. Instead, as Paul wrote Titus, we will be joyfully, quote, "waiting for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ," end of quote, Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Actually, the day of the Lord and the day of God are not synonymous expressions according to most end-time biblical scholars. The day of God refers to the eternal state, when God will have permanently subdued all of his enemies, versus the day of the Lord referring to the tumultuous events included in the last judgment of unbelievers before the eternal state. Whereas following after the final destruction of the universe, the day of God will arrive. Only then will this corrupted world system be forever abolished. With the day of God, a glorious new day will showcase God's culminating promise and power. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. New means new in quality, radically different, unlike anything previously known. Even Adam and Eve were not glorified in absolutely perfect bodies, or they would not have chosen to disobey God in sin. Believers' brand new home will be a permanent residence, unimaginable, and sin will be no more. No glorified believer will ever have a sinful thought, ever have a sinful word, ever have a sinful act or inaction. It will not even come to mind, because sin itself will be obliterated, obsolete, impossible in the new heaven and the new earth. Therefore, believers should live in constant expectation, always looking for Christ's return in the air, and continually viewing everything now in this life in light of their and our eternal destiny, as we persevere in Christ Jesus and are overcomers of each and every test and trial, eventually to the glory of God. The final day of the Lord must come first, which is for the unbelievers. However, the day of God will certainly inevitably follow, which is for all believers. May we continue to look toward the eastern sky and say, "Come, O Lord," which in the Aramaic language is Maranatha.
Are you ready to meet our Lord? We pray that you are a Christian, following faithfully the way of Jesus. If you have questions about today's sermon or of what it means to be a Christian, please write to us. You may have a free CD of this and last week's program by asking for program number 2416. That's 2416. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.